So tonight's debate at Hofstra University in New York between President Obama and Mitt Romney starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, a town hall with selected undecided voters asking questions, moderator Candy Crowley doing a follow-up. Andrew Pearson has some questions of his own. He served as an Army captain in Iraq and Afghanistan. He's now a fellow at the Truman National Security Project and posted his questions on the blog Tom Ricks has been writing on the foreign policy website. We'll hook you up at hereandnow.org. As Andrew joins us from Missoula, Montana. Andrew, start with your first question for President Obama.
In most respects, our war in Afghanistan seems to be a strategic failure, despite some clear tactical victories around the country. In your view, do the military advisors who advocated a surge counterinsurgency strategy in Afghanistan still have credibility? Would you rely on their advice in a second term?
Now, that's an interesting question because a lot of people thought the surge worked at the time. The president was congratulated for the extra troops. This idea of counterinsurgency, you know, working with the people, trying to turn them against insurgents was thought to have worked at one time. Obviously, you don't think they have.
I think it is important to have a frank conversation about whether the advice that the president received from top military advisors to increase troop levels in Afghanistan and the way those troops have been deployed, whether that's been a success or a failure. You know, if somebody could make the case that our war in Afghanistan has been a strategic success, I'd be interested to hear that argument because I think it's a really hard argument to make. It's pretty clear that it has not been a strategic success. And if you come to that conclusion that it has been a strategic failure, I think the next question you have to ask the president is, what does that mean for your second term? What does that mean for who you will listen to? And who have you written off now as not being able to provide you with the best advice possible?
Okay. Your next two questions for President Obama have to do with spending. You write, under your administration, the U.S. spent more in real terms on military spending than at any time since World War II. And you ask, you know, has some of this money been squandered? You think the Pentagon and the defense industry may have squandered some of these investments. And your next question is, would the president who supported a health reform bill that specified levels of profits for the health insurance companies, and we know the health insurance industry under the new law is being asked to spend 80% of the money they take in on health care, and if they're spending it on marketing and other things, they have to kick back money to people, and people are getting checks in the mail right now because of this cap on profits that the law puts on the healthcare industry. You're saying, should the same cap on profits be put on the defense industry? Why?
We're spending more and defense than at any time since World War II. And you're hearing complaints from Mitt Romney about we don't have as many ships as we used to, we don't have as many fighter jets, and that's because the president has cut defense spending. It's just not true. The only way to deal with the problem is to fix the way we buy new weapon systems. And, you know, I'm not the only one talking about this. I mean, John McCain has spoken at length in endless number of Armed Services Committee hearings about the importance of fixing our acquisition process because we are spending an enormous amount on defense. We're not getting everything we can get for how much we're spending. But the real challenge for the next president, whether it's Obama or Romney, is how do you fix the system so that when we do spend as much as we're spending, we're getting the full value of those investments.
Right, and you cite things like cost overruns and failed programs and things that you think are waste in defense. Well, let's turn to Mitt Romney. Your first question to him has to do with spending. Why don't you go ahead and read it?
You've said on numerous occasions that you would oppose any tax increases, but you've also supported a $2 trillion increase in defense spending. Democrats on Capitol Hill have said they will not agree to waive the mandatory defense cuts set for the end of the year without increases in revenue. If faced with a choice between increased taxes and cuts to defense spending, which would you choose?
And what would you like to hear?
I think it'd be a hard question for him to answer, frankly. But if he truly grappled with the question, I think it gets the point across that I hope many conservatives come to understand that you're not going to be able to cut taxes if you continue to increase defense spending. There's only so much money out there. It is a real choice that the next president has to make. And if President Romney truly wants to increase defense spending at the levels that he's proposed, he's not going to get the tax cuts he wants.
You asked Mitt Romney another tough question about military service. You say, you know, to Mitt Romney, during the primary campaign, you took the position that the U.S. shouldn't negotiate with the Taliban, but instead should defeat the Taliban. You point out that none of the Romneys, either Mitt Romney or five of his, as you say, healthy, strong sons, have ever served a day in the military. You ask him, you know, taking a position of defeating the Taliban, a position that would necessarily involve more troops losing lives and limbs, do you think it's easier for Mitt Romney to call for if he has no direct experience with the pain military families face? That's a tough question.
It is a tough question. And I'm not trying to suggest that Mitt Romney doesn't appreciate that war involves a lot of pain, but there's not a single military veteran or a family member of a veteran who's serving in harm's way that would discuss the issue in that manner. Because if you want to make the case for another decade of war to defeat the Taliban, then that's fine. But you've got to make your case and be upfront about it and talk about the trillion-dollar price tag and the men and women who will lose their legs and, you know, talk about the pain and the sacrifice. And look, there are plenty of veterans who would cheer for that policy to go all out and take every single Taliban off the battlefield. Some of them are my friends. That's their opinion. The reality is, I just hope that it occurs to Mitt Romney that he's never lost a day of sleep wondering whether his sons would come home safe from war. It's not a disqualification for the White House, but I hope that he acknowledges that limitation.
Well, your last question from Mitt Romney involves the attack on the consulate in Benghazi. We addressed that at the beginning of the program. There's sure to be lots of questions. You have a very different one. You ask about the Navy SEAL who was killed in Benghazi. Mitt Romney mentioned in passing that he met him at a party. The mother of the SEAL, Glenn Dougherty, asked Mitt Romney not to mention her son in his political campaigning. In fact, the father of Chris Stevens, the U.S. ambassador who was killed in Benghazi, has also asked Mitt Romney not to politicize that attack. You asked Mitt Romney to apologize for using the name of the Navy SEAL. He has not apologized to the mother. Why is that important to you?
You know, I think when a mother loses her son in such an awful attack, I think the last thing you want to do is to create additional stress or anxiety for her. I think it's pretty common practice if you're going to speak publicly about somebody who's lost their life, whether in war or any other circumstance, you check with the family and you make sure that they're comfortable with you invoking the name of their lost loved one. And apparently he didn't do it. And I hope what comes out of this is in the future, any candidate that is referring to somebody who's lost their lives in combat, you really need to check with the families. And I hope that's the lesson that everybody takes from this.
Andrew Pearson, who served in the Army in Iraq and Afghanistan, by the way, earned a Bronze Star. He's been giving us his questions for the candidates. He posted them on Tom Rick's blog on the Foreign Policy website. We'll link you up at hearandnow.org. Andrew, Captain Pearson, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.
And we've been getting your emails and comments. Ron DeMelfi of San Diego writes, I'd like to ask Mitt Romney if he feels that having Cayman Island and Swiss accounts, as he does to avoid paying taxes, reflects the kind of patriotism that a candidate for president should have. Send us your questions for the candidates, hearandnow.org.